So there's actually going to be two of us presenting today. So my name is Caitlin Aldrit. I'm a grad student from UC Davis.
I'm also from UC Davis. My name is Andrew Marginot.
So both of us have been working on this partnership with the Diggett exhibit in California. And today we're going to talk about integrating soil science into primary school education and soil education by using the SSSA-sponsored Diggett exhibit at the California Museum.
So a bit of backstory. We were having dinner with some SSSA higher-ups, big fish, back in September, and one of them leaned over to us during the course of his dinner, and he said, you know, I think in soils we have a publicity problem. Unlike other disciplines like biomedicine, genetics, geology, there's more exposure of younger students, and we're thinking here first grade through sixth grade, to these disciplines. And these fields and jobs in those fields are being pitched to younger students earlier on. In contrast, soils, it's not getting out there to this younger audience. So that was our context for establishing this project beginning back in April to work with a museum, SSSA, and UC Davis as students there to bring soil science to primary school students.
Excuse me. So, soil science, I'm sure we all feel it's very important, and it's also incredibly suitable for primary school education. It can provide a unique perspective on global challenges, and soil science offers an opportunity to thematically integrate numerous subjects. Soil science, to me, is the ultimate interdisciplinary science. And in primary school, it could teach concepts in physics, hydrology, biology, through soil science. Soil science is very complementary with subjects that are required by state and national education standards. So, and also, integrating soil science into primary education is a great way to spark future soil scientists. We want more and more in soil scientists.
Then the question might be, well, why is this not being done if it fits so well into the curricula of primary schools? Well, one reason is that there are standards that teachers must abide by, and they have only so much time. And so, as a result, if there's no explicit mention of soil science in these standards, it's not going to be incorporated. Along with that, teachers who do want to add soil science, they oftentimes can't find lesson plans, or they can't find the resources to add even just a few hours during the whole year of soil science. And finally, soils are often pitched from a very ag-centric perspective, and as pedologists, we feel that there's more to soils than just the top 15 centimeters. And it might attract more people if they see it as not just a place to grow food, but also, well, it has effects on hydrology, it's implicated in landscapes, that there's more to soils than just agriculture. So with this, we worked as UC Davis grad students with SSSA and a local museum in Sacramento to bring soil science to primary school. And specifically, we had in mind second grade through seventh grade. And the way that we did this is that we used an existing soil science exhibit. This was established by SSSA back in 2008. And our goal was to use this exhibit to bring soil science to second through seventh graders. Our vision was to use the exhibit as an external classroom. So as opposed to us going to schools in Sacramento, they would do a field trip out to the museum. And in one place, we could provide resources, presentations, demonstration carts, all in one place. To do this, there were a number of institutions involved. Again, UC Davis, the museum staff, SSSA, as well as the individual school teachers with their field trip classes.
So just a little background on the exhibit, Diggett. It was commissioned by SSSA in the Smithsonian. And to quote McGonigal, who wrote an article on it in 2010, the primary goal of public soils education should not be to teach, but to inspire. The goal to inspire guided the design of Diggett, The Secrets of the Soil. So this exhibit was designed to inspire kids, and it was designed from an ecosystem perspective so that agroecosystems were one of numerous ecosystems presented, and they really tried to give a holistic view of soil.
And in line with that, if you don't mind going back, these are the banners that you can see in downtown Sacramento, and there's an owl there. This is the burrow owl that's endangered species in California. And the idea was to pit soils as part of ecosystems, hence soils are the habitat for this burrowing species of owl.
So the exhibit was primarily module-based. So it had things like looping videos, scale models, soil monoliths, some rotating soil horizons, and a lot of touch screens to try and get the kids to interact with the exhibit. But even though it may be geared towards kids, I mean, for the general, it's a great exhibit for the general public. And this is just an image from when it was at the Smithsonian of a lot of soil monoliths and the Soil Horizons module that they have.
So our role as UC Davis students was to serve as docents. We were there to support the field trip efforts by the museum staff. We weren't there to design, to coordinate, to do all the paperwork, which, as you might imagine, is pretty hectic for having trips of up to 80 students at once. There was one with 141 students coming through. So that was not our job. Our job was there to talk to the kids about soils. So what exactly did we do? The main outline of our field trips, which were about an hour and a half, were that the classes would come in from 40 to 140 people. We would give them about a 10-minute presentation, and this is tailored to their grade level. If they were second grade, it would be more basic. If it was sixth grade, then we get into things like the soil-forming factors, CLORT. After this, we would break down into two or three groups, and one half would go into the exhibit, and they would have a guided tour by one of us, and the other half would then stay in that classroom where we had some hands-on activities and some demonstration carts. So in the first month, we've had just over 200 students come through this process. There's been from, I believe, three different grade levels, third through sixth, and in five different waves, you might say. This is to give you a sense of the demonstrations that we do in the classroom after the presentation on basic soil concepts. So we talk about things like texture, soil health, infiltration, but talking to anyone, but especially younger audiences, these are pretty abstract. So to help hit that nail home, we have three different demos, and we do things like a demo of runoff, a demo of aggregate stability, and one of filtration capacity, comparing, for example, a clay soil with a sandy soil. We introduce a colored food dye, and we see how these different textures can strain out the different dyes. So pretty basic, and one nice thing about this is that there's lots of students who come from a farming background, and we pitch this notion of soil health with these three demonstrations. A healthy soil being able to infiltrate more water, have more stability, and have more filtering capacity. So there's sort of this unfortunate hitch, or rather a reality of being a teacher, is that you have to justify a field trip. So part of our job was to try to, perhaps not bend, but try to convince school teachers that they could satisfy the Common Core, which in California is what we're using, to or as part of this exhibit. So how could these teachers satisfy certain elements of what they have to teach through a field trip? And this was easy for some grade levels, and it was harder for others. So to give you an example here, for second grade, it was pretty straightforward. There's, in fact, explicit mention of soils. This is unique to the second grade standards. And so for the second graders, it was easy to use this exhibit to teach some basic concepts or to meet these standards. For sixth grade, on the bottom, it was a little bit more difficult, mostly because of the geology-centric nature of these Common Core standards. And the best that we could come up with was trying to pitch these landscape processes like erosion and flooding as one of the factors of soil formation. So one of our insights here, or one of our lessons, was that for some grades, these Common Core standards might be more amenable or less so for soil science lessons. Right, so we ourselves learned two kinds of lessons. So the first is our more hands-on direct experience with these students. First is that not too many kids are into gardening, and so that's where this ag slant through which soils are typically pitched might be a turnoff to some. Second is that the basic concept of soil science, CLORP, the five soil forming factors, is a little bit abstract, especially for less than fourth graders. That said, we did find some benefits or some points that might be expanded upon for future efforts. One is that kids have to touch the soil, and as you might imagine, if we're in this really pristine setting with monoliths and carpets, there was much resistance to allowing us to basically give out mud samples, right? To texture by feel is to wet the soil. Yet that's pretty essential for them to understand these concepts of texture, of grittiness, of clay content. Second, we found was that younger students were more receptive to this idea of soil ecosystem services. We would not pitch it as that, but we would say something like, so why do we love soils? Well, they give us food, clothing, shelter, etc. And finally, this whole effort was very much science-based, and for students who may have interests that lie in the arts and history, there might be other strategies for pitching soil science, soil art, as well as history. There was one student who was very much into military history, and just this morning, there was a talk about how George Washington lost his first battle in the French-Indian War because he built his fort on the hydric soil. It rained the next day, his fort flooded, and the French captured him. And so having small anecdotes like that from history books might be useful to get some younger kids who aren't into sciences but are into history into soils.
Another lesson learned was a need for consolidation and organization of resources. There's a lot out there, especially online, but for teachers, I think some of it's difficult to use. Talking with some educators who aren't as familiar with soil science, they almost don't want to teach it. They find it too complicated. Being able to have resources, lesson plans that let teachers bring soil science to the classroom while yet not oversimplifying it, and trying to maintain the science can be really difficult. And we think that SSSA is a great platform and a great organization that can work on providing these resources. That's one of the main goals with this upcoming International Year of Soils. One of the things they're doing is going to be making and providing lesson plans online for all the different themes every month. And also, fostering outreach from those in the world of soil. So, not just folks in academia, but government organizations. I know ARS does some outreach with K-12 and some other groups as well. Within the Forest Service, nonprofits, and just trying to get the whole community of soil scientists to be involved in inspiring young kids to learn about soil. Just a couple quick acknowledgments. We want to acknowledge the Soil Science and Biogeochemistry graduate group at UC Davis for allowing us to be involved in this project. The SSSA, Susan Fisk, Public and Science Communications Director, Jan Hotman's the president, all the staff at the California Museum, several folks at NRCS, Henry Ferguson, he's the one who made the demo cart, Sue Sellard and many others, and then Brent Ruth at the U.S. Forest Service. So if we have time for questions, do we have any time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we would want to take some questions. Yes.
So the part of this was a field trip, and then did I hear you right that you said you also went back to the classrooms with the hands-on demos?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so at the museum, there's the exhibit, but then they also have a classroom kind of in the back where the kids could then do the demo cart and do more hands-on activities that they couldn't do in the exhibit proper. So not their classroom, but at the museum.
Carry on the things that you started.
That's a great idea. In fact, we were helped out a lot by some of the previous soil scientists who were at the exhibit in D.C., which was 2008 through 2010, I believe. So keeping this momentum going, there's lots of resources that those folks from D.C. provided us with, and we'd like to pass it on and snowball this effort.
One suggestion, a lot of soil science programs are having trouble recruiting students. We're not seeing as many undergraduates who want to study soils, so I think it might be an interesting addition to do something for a higher grade level, maybe for high school sophomores or high school juniors, to kind of refresh and reinforce and get them right at that point where they're thinking, what do I want to do, what do I want to major in when I go to college, and just kind of bring that soil science back to the core and kind of encourage them to really think about doing soil science.
That's a great
response. Have a quick response.
I think that's a fabulous idea. So far we've really been hitting that second through seventh grade. But yes, getting high schoolers when they're trying to make decisions about college, I think that is a real niche group that we should be taking advantage of. Let me rephrase that. Not taking advantage of it. Yeah. Okay.
Time frame.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.